Mr. Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air in Los Angeles, California. Just had a very nice chat with our second hour guest. Kate Mara is here. She is absolutely going to tell us who the Giants are drafting, right, 26th perfect. Overall.
Yeah.
And speaking of number 26, we, the two of us together in promoting Class of 09, that's coming to a television set near you in short order, we're going to solve the Saquon Barkley issue for the Giants together.
Nice.
So you're welcome to Big Blue fandom.
Peter right King there. Has the Giants taking Notre Dame tight end Michael Mayer.
That's odd that the Giants would take a Notre Dame tight end. It doesn't sound like a Giants pick at all.
Just saying. Maybe she can confirm that.
Fantastic. The actor Chris Davis, who plays George Foreman in the new film Big George Foreman, also stars Forrest Whitaker. He will be here in studio hour number three. Chris, you've got Overreaction Monday.
I do.
Where you like to overreact, have me to overreact to some things.
Are we doing that now?
No.
Okay.
That's in hour three. I'm just walking people through how the sausage is getting made. Just talked to Daniel Jeremiah, my colleague at the NFL Media Group, about the draft that's going down in Kansas City this week. I will be leaving later on this week. Susie will be doing the show Wednesday, Kirk Morrison Thursday and Friday.
Awesome.
So, but I'll be calling in, unless you don't want me to.
Yeah, you can call, Rich.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
I want you to call. I want to hear
that.
About Kansas City.
Oh,
I like
thanks.
Kansas.
I appreciate that. Thanks
yeah,
very much.
I'm in.
So craziness going on in the world. Tucker Carlson out. My blue check mark's back. What the hell's happening?
Fuck cats. Cats and dogs.
You're not taking
one day,
over.
One day Tucker's there. My blue check mark's gone. Then Tucker's out. My blue check mark's back.
You're not taking over the APM spot, are you?
I am not.
Okay.
I am not.
Got it.
I am not aggrieved. But my blue check mark's back, and I just want to say this.
For verifying your phone number.
I just want to say this. As you know, I lost my blue check mark on live Rich Eisen Show streaming television here on the Roku channel.
In spectacular
and
fashion.
This Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate. If you're listening on Sirius XM or Odyssey, you heard me lose my blue check mark. And Chris, I have to say, having watched that segment back a couple times, again, I'm not Larry Sanders. I sometimes watch things back just to see how they played. You know, I'm trying to make the show better. That's why we're Emmy nominated for a second year in a row.
Two-time in a row. Yeah. Three-time.
But, you know, as you know, I wasn't paying for it. I wasn't paying $8 for it. Just not. Wasn't paying $8.
Pay that, man.
Honestly, there's so many different principled reasons why. And then to receive it back.
Oh, that's like,
what a gift.
You know, and then it says when you click on my blue check mark that I have subscribed and confirmed my phone number.
Brilliant!
Make it look like I did it. Right. So you take it away, and then you give it back, and make it look like I'm a hypocrite. Wow. What a great way to handle your business.
What a business model.
Sounds great. Makes me want to stay. And just so everyone knows, I'm just confirming to you, didn't pay, didn't confirm anything. And in case you think I'm lying, he gave the blue check mark back, or his people gave the blue check mark back to people who are dead. Kobe got his blue check mark back. Jamal Khashoggi. My buddy Bob Saget.
Anthony Bourdain.
Chadwick Boseman.
The list goes on.
Norm MacDonald. You check on their blue check marks. It says they verified their phone number as well. And one more thing on the subject matter. I thought the blue check marks were removed from people like myself. So those who can pay for it or want to pay for it, like, say, a certain audio executive of the Rich Eisen Show.
I had Twitter Blue from the day one.
You know what, man?
And I told you guys that.
You were like the George Washington of Twitter Blue.
I love to. Yeah,
you cannot tell a lie either.
No, I can't. I mean, I can embellish a little.
You're George-ish Washington.
He did not chop down the tree.
But at any rate, I thought the blue check marks were removed from people like myself because it should be just a level playing field, right? That's what you heard from the man himself.
That's like what I thought, yeah. We're all the
and
same.
So those who bought it spent the money on it, and then now we're all the same, which is fine. I'm cool with that. I've told you I was cool with it. I'm totally cool with it. I don't need a blue check mark to live my life.
I do.
Clearly. But now I got it back, apparently, because I've got over 1 million followers. So what is it? Is the playing field level or it's not? Are we still creating some sort of tier system or not? I'm just asking. Because kind of sounds like there's no plan for it. Just spitballing here, just showing what it looks like from the outside in. So just wanted to mention that to everybody. Start hour number two. Now then, let's get to the NBA playoffs. Dude, I don't know, man. It is a wild affair with watching the injuries. Your guy Embiid, good thing the Sixers are sitting there, sitting out.
Got a whole week.
Okay, and you know, I'm sure you're rooting for the Hawks to try and extend that series with the Celtics so you can get as much rest for Embiid. But he's going to be, it's 50-50 that he's going to be there, or he'll be 50%. I can't tell the percentages and stuff like that.
I'm not a doctor.
There you go.
50% for game one.
Giannis out. He's basically played a half a quarter. Bucks are down 2-1 now. Heat's up. Bucks down. Okay. You got Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard. I'm sorry. Load managed all year long so he can be ready for this moment. He played a whole damn game against the Portland Trailblazers the day I brought my son there for a game that we thought maybe they should lose because they want to avoid the Suns, and then they beat the Suns in game one, and Kawhi looked great. He played game two, and then all of a sudden he can't play 2 games in a row, home games. No Kawhi, no Paul George. Best thing, if the Clippers are up 2-0 in moral victories, they're down 3-1 now in actual standings.
That don't matter, though.
Correct. Then you got suspensions. Draymond came back from suspension. He's on the bench. He's suspended for stomping on Sabonis. And then Dylan Brooks gets ejected because he hit King James in the crown jewels. But he's not suspended. James Harden gets ejected.
That was ridiculous.
For who knows what?
Nothing.
Well, they said he hit, I guess, the jewels are an ejectionable offense. Don't hit anybody in the jewels.
Yeah.
DeJounte Murray bumps an official. Nick Claxton steps over Embiid. It's off the charts. Doc Rivers, he spoke the truth on Friday night. There's a lot of toughness going on in the NBA that wouldn't be going on if this was, what, Rucker Park? Is that basically what I'm kind of picking up, what he's putting down here? That's what Doc had to say.
And I'm going to say this, probably shouldn't. Didn't think Draymond should have got suspended. And I think the league is setting up a very dangerous precedent right now. And this is not me campaigning, all right? And I'm dead serious. If we're going to start punishing the retaliators and not the instigators, then we got a problem. If I was at a park and you stood over me, we're going to have a problem. You know, but these guys know they can do it because they know most likely you can't do anything. I mean, I'm not, you know, picking on Claxton, but I don't think at a park you're standing over Joel. You know, but when you got the ref and everybody else there, you know nothing's going to happen. And to me, and all I'm saying is this, and this is what I'm concerned by, is teams targeting the better players with instigation to get them thrown out, and the better player has to be above and can't retaliate. And so we're asking our stars to turn their heads a whole bunch more than they can at times. So it's a tough one for the league. I think they're in a tough spot.
What do you say? That's untrue. Honestly. Don't punch down. It's basically what they're saying at the league. I don't know. but it's been an off-kilter first round. Good thing Giannis is expected to come back tonight. I'm excited to see that. But all season long, we're talking about stars not playing, and now it's the playoffs and stars aren't playing. In many different ways. Let me talk about something that's positive, though. As you all know, I don't like the Knicks owner with the intensity of a thousand suns. And I use celestial, astronomical language because my dislike of James Dolan, we call it the Dolan wormhole. I can't stay away from the gravitational pull. It would just send me in a totally different direction. And we found out from Neil deGrasse Tyson, it's really a black hole,
black
right?
Hole, yeah.
Scientifically, I've been off.
Yeah, fine.
But spiritually, I think I've been spot on.
Spiritually.
And I thought I would never want to reverse course. Again, Charles Oakley spending a night in jail because of him being dragged out of the garden because Dolan didn't see fit to stop what was happening in front of him or target Charles Oakley for appearing in the garden at all. To me, it's just the height. And it's tough for me to forget because this is one of my favorite Knicks of all time and I've been a fan since 1977. And then I would just watch the Knicks basically try and buy their way out of their problems by trying to get all-star players interested in coming to New York. Remember that one time didn't they put Durant on a season ticket flyer or something like that? They try to make you think that they can get Durant or something along those lines. Something was going on.
Sounds like something.
Well, look, bottom line is they kept on trying, and I thought no one's going to take Dolan's money. And then the Knicks got smart. I don't know what happened, but they hired this fellow who we all know, Leon Rose, from here in Los Angeles, and he's well-versed in the NBA for many, many years. And they targeted somebody with their free agent dollars this past year, and he's become one of my favorite Knicks of all time. God, do I love Jalen Brunson. And I watched him over the last year, and I thought to myself, this is the guy I would have rooted for when I was 7, when I was 15, when I ran into Bernard King in an elevator in Madison Square Garden, and I couldn't say a word because I was totally tongue-tied to see my idol standing in front of me. Living through the Ewing years and having Jordan rip out my heart and show it to me pumping and loving Oakley and Anthony Mason. Hoping Allen Houston could turn into somebody with grandmama and trying to overlook Latrell Sprewell's hands on the throat of the coach and living through all of that and dying with Dolan doing his schmecky things. And with Randall, and yes, the drafting of R.J. Barrett, and it's a team, and I love the acquisition of Josh Hart, so smart. And obviously, as I mentioned, Julius Randall and Coach Thibodeau, who has the cojones to sit Randall in a playoff game against the Cavs when it's clearly not Randall's afternoon. And Emmanuel Quickley and the rest of this team that they've put together and the moxie that they have and the chemistry that they have and the joy with which they seem to play the game. I love watching this team. And it makes me forget about the scarf-wearing, harmonica-playing Silver Spoon man who still needs, in my mind, some customer service advice. Jalen Brunson's made me a fan again. That's how much I love him, and I love his message. Up 3-1. 3-1. The series is not over, as he counseled.
What's your message to the rest of your teammates in terms of being so close to moving on, but focusing on the task at hand?
Exactly that. It's not over. Not even close to being over. We continue to just keep focusing on one day at a time. And there's nothing to celebrate. There's nothing to be truly happy about. So obviously, we'd be one tonight. We're one step closer. But we got to continue to have that same mindset mentality and that we have over the past couple games.
God, I love him. What a dream. Thank you, Dallas Mavericks. Thank you. What a dream. One of my favorite Knicks of all time. Love watching him play. Love his shot making. Love his intelligence on the court. Love how he makes his teammates better. The Garden just thumps when he makes a play. Love it. Now, obviously the series is not over, but I just wanted to say that he's made me a fan again. Love watching him. Now, he may be... put into the Bucks meat grinder if Giannis comes back very healthy and they start asserting themselves and the Knicks face him. But this 4-5 series supposed to go 7, and unless the Cavs win the next two, including one in Madison Square, this is not going 7. And the Knicks will go on to the second round. Words so rare for me to say into a microphone.
Take on the Heat?
Could be. Hey, I said that to Van Gundy the other day. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I did yada, yada, yada the rest of the first round.
Yeah, of course.
But I love it. Thank you, Jalen Brunson. You've restored my faith. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Kate Mara is here in studio. She's going to come out, and she is going to talk about her new show on FX and Hulu, Class of 09. And then she'll reveal all the Giants draft secrets. That's coming up next. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. I'm here with Kate Mara. Here, our radio audience has just returned. We just saw a clip of Class of 09 that you can catch on Hulu, which is available right here on Roku with Brian Tyree Henry. An excellent cast. Everybody check it out again on May the 10th, and the new episodes release weekly on Wednesdays. Kate here on the Rich Eisen Show. What interested you about this show?
Well, honestly, Brian Tyree Henry was attached to it already before I even read a script, and I love him. I think he's such a good actor. So that immediately pulled me to it. And then I read the first couple scripts and, couldn't put them down. Mm-hmm. It is a different role, different world for me than I've ever been a part of.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to learn about being an FBI agent? You get to,
we did some training. We had some great, FBI, old FBI agents, sort of helping us out. And, they were always available to us while we were shooting. And,
yes.
We learned a lot, and we even went through a physical training, an actor's version of boot camp.
Yes.
And that bonded us very quickly.
And so what can you, I guess, tell folks about the show? I'm trying to...
Not much.
That's what I'm saying.
Tell?
Yeah, no, because I'm watching the trailer and I'm watching, and it just seems that there's different time periods for your character.
There's a lot of twists,
yes,
throughout the episodes, and so it's hard to talk. It's one of those things that's hard to talk about without giving things away.
Right.
You certainly learn as you go along with each episode, but it's fun because we all had different. Everyone had a different version of which character they liked to play the most.
Sure.
You know, I love the past stuff because I've always been really interested in how FBI agents actually become agents,
yes,
and like what they have to go through in Quantico. Those stories are the most interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I always loved it when we had scenes to do in that world.
It's called Class of 09. Wednesday, May 10th is when it starts on Hulu with two episodes. Kate Mara here on The Rich Eisen Show. What is your first football memory, Kate?
Oh, that's a good question.
Thank you.
It goes so far back. I don't know if it's a memory or if I made it up, but probably when the Giants were in the Super Bowl. I don't know how old I was. You'll probably be able to tell me if you
so
do fast math.
1990. There's 86 and 90 with the Parcells years.
Yeah,
so.
So was it 86 that Whitney Houston sang the national
anthem?
That was
1990, right?
Okay, so yeah, that's when
there was the Gulf War and everything going on.
I was seven.
You were seven?
I was at the Rose Bowl.
Here in Los Angeles?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So that's my first memory because Whitney Houston sang and it blew my mind. I didn't watch the rest of the game. I was seven and
I was... Yeah.
We were making, we were cutting out napkins into mm-hmm, I don't know, designs. That's what we did for the whole Super Bowl.
The designs were Jeff Hostetler jerseys?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, got it.
But yeah, no, I just remember her singing and then everyone being very excited and crying mm-hmm at the end.
Yeah, that was in Tampa, Florida. That was in the old Sombrero in Florida. Okay, not here at the Rose
Yeah,
Bowl.
Because I think then we went to Disney or something.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Wow. So, you know, at my first year at the NFL Network, we started it in 2003. And we, in 2004, got to go to an owner's meeting for the first time. And we got to go inside the owner's meeting room. And I'll never forget it. It was just mind-blowing to me. And just watching where the owners all sat. And I saw that the Giants ownership sat next to the Steelers ownership. And I asked, what's up with that? Because somebody told me that's the way it always is. And they said there's a long family history between the two.
Yeah.
And that's when I learned about your family history,
mm-hmm,
that the Steelers and the Giants go way back. And your parents are essentially, you know, Wellington Mara's son, right? And and Art Rooney's daughter.
Granddaughter. Yeah.
That's the deal, huh?
It's pretty wild. I recently did I narrated a podcast that Michael Strahan produced. And it's all about the history of the NFL. And it was so wild to me narrating this because I actually was talking about my family for so much of the podcast.
Yes.
A lot of it I knew, but a lot of it I didn't know, you know, just details about how it all began.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so emotional being able to read all that and, you know, really get a sense of where we come from. And my mom and dad met because of I think an owner's meeting back in the day. And
is
then,
that right?
Yeah. And then they ended up going to the same college. They went to Boston College. But I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong. My dad hopefully is watching and saying I'm right. But I think they met at an owner's meeting a long time ago.
Because again, I was just blown away. Like and it's sort of like a same seats policy at these owner's meetings.
Right.
And nobody was going to sit between the Giants and the Steelers.
Yeah, you don't get between family.
No, pretty much.
Yeah.
It is kind of wild. And so does it blow your mind when you see your grandfather's nickname on the football?
Like, yeah. And I have three kids. And so trying to explain that to them is pretty wild. It still blows my mind mm-hmm now. It's a really special thing to be a part of. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around.
Yeah. Right. I mean, the Duke is the football.
Yeah, that's my grandpa. That was his nickname.
Grandpa Wellington.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor, do you have a favorite Giants game that you've been to? Anything that you recall?
The Super Bowl when we beat the Patriots. That was the first time. That mm-hmm. was pretty spectacular.
That was in Arizona. By the way, he's a diehard Patriot fan over there, Kate. Well, so I know.
I know there are a lot of you.
sit in, Chris.
I didn't play the game.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, who doesn't love an underdog story? An underdog story is it. And that's what we were.
Right.
And then we weren't.
I know. Right.
There were tears, and it was so exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I will never forget that.
The helmet catch is just.
I mean.
The helmet catch was something else. And then I was on the field getting ready to work afterwards, and Plexico Burress came right at me. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, when the ball's in the air, I'm like, he's wide open. Like, what's going on here? And
it was. Oh, wow. You were right there.
I was truly right there because I had to go to work right afterwards. That was unbelievable. And then, you know, Coughlin and what happened with the team that year, and Strahan, what he since has become,
mm-hmm.
coming off of all that. It's truly one of the most amazing stories that I've personally witnessed.
Yeah, you know? It was pretty awesome to be there for that. And to just see my dad, my dad who works for the team, and you know, my whole family was just so excited and emotional about it all.
And then emotional, you sang the national anthem, if I'm not mistaken, after the passing of your grandfather, right?
Yeah. They my family asked me to sing it then. I still can't believe I ever sang the national anthem at all. I'm not, you know, the greatest singer of all time. It's more of a hobby. And, but those are all my cousins at the time. There's many more of us now. My dad is one of 11 kids, and everyone has at least 3 children, at least.
My God.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
Okay. Whose jersey are you wearing there? Who are you rocking?
I think it said the age of my grandpa when he passed.
Oh, I see what that was. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a very special experience to all be there together,
mm-hmm.
you know, to for my grandpa's sake.
So do you go to Steelers games too? Or I mean, what's your, is there
not as often, only okay. because I grew up in New York, and I go back home a lot to be with my family.
Sure.
So we still go to Giants games every year, and the Steelers is just a little bit harder to get to, but
right.
I am a huge Steelers fan as well.
Well, I mean, come on now. This is
your
family.
Could I not be? Yeah.
I know. And obviously your sister got both last names.
You know what? So Rooney is is now her first name, okay. but both of us have the middle name Rooney. So
you do.
Okay. Or I used to before I got married, but yeah, right. it was Kate Rooney Mara. And my sister's name before she was an actor was Trisha Rooney Mara, and she mm-hmm. just dropped her first name and went by Rooney.
Mm-hmm.
Which now it's funny because it feels like that was sort of always her name.
Mm-hmm.
But it is awesome to have both of those names.
Is it true, Kate, that you have a writer in any contract of any job that you have during the wintertime that you can be free to leave to go to a Super Bowl if the Giants, the Steelers are in it?
It's not really true.
That you missed the Steelers Super Bowl in Detroit because you were working, right? The Super Bowl 40.
Yes.
And that, you know.
And that was heartbreaking.
And that you need a contractual out that you have actually codified it for you. That's not true that you have that?
It's true that I would make that part of a contract if I was working during that time.
Yes.
I think I was filming the TV show 24,
yes.
I think, which was one of my favorite shows to watch. And then I got a job on it.
Yes.
And I just wasn't thinking about the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then I couldn't make it to the game. And it was so, you know, it was very emotional to not be there with my whole family. And it was a whole thing. And so then I jokingly said, well, from now on, it'll have to always be in whatever, if I'm working at the time.
Right.
And then, I would do that, but you don't have the same contract for every job you have. So mm-hmm. it's sort of true, but it's also sort of not true.
So, by the way, 24 is one of my favorite shows, too. Maybe one of the most bingeable shows
I know
of all time.
It really is.
And then, so was there any conversation on the set of 24, Kate Mara, and the fact that Jack Bauer never went to the bathroom and always had cell reception. Has that ever been a conversation? Because I just can't believe
yeah.
that some... I mean, for 24.
Yeah, he
for,
didn't ever eat.
Nobody ever ate anything.
Are you sure? Like, he never even saw him pop some
power bar.
Like, he didn't satchel that he had.
You know,
everything kind of
Jack
in.
Bauer never went to the bathroom, and the phone always worked. Like, what the hell?
That's the beauty of the show.
And he was always running out of time.
Yeah, he was always running out of time.
He's so good.
I know.
He's so good in that role.
That is one of my favorite
Kiefer's amazing
lines of all time.
Yes.
So nobody.
No,
ever,
I never thought to ask
nobody,
that.
I just never know. It's like you're just sitting around, like, really? Like, Jack never has to do anything that other people have
he's
to do.
He's superhuman. He's like he's a superhero.
What was it like being on that show?
I was so nervous because I was such a huge fan of the show. I couldn't believe I was in, what was the room called?
Oh, CTU. CTU, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't believe I was in that room and actually playing, you know, someone. I think my character replaced Edgar, I loved that character.
Oh.
Remember how much? He was so lovable. And I was also a psycho on the show. So that was weird. I was like, great. Of course I'm playing a psycho that nobody likes.
Maybe were you preparing for Class of 09 without you even knowing what was going on? Not the psycho, but the whole, like, you know.
Oh, I guess I was. Yeah, there you go.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, I'm trying to put the connective tissue together. And what do people bring up for House of Cards and your character and what happened? What's your two cents on spoiler alerts on that front?
I think they did such an amazing job with that, keeping that spoiler quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was convinced that people would just get a feeling or know what was about to happen to Zoe Barnes. But most people say that they were shocked by it. So, yeah, they did such a good job of keeping that under wraps. And it was fun. It was really fun to film that. I think we even had like fake pages that we were handing out on the day that we filmed that in the subway, just in case, you know, one got left behind or whatever. But I thought they did an amazing job with that.
Right.
And to my character.
Well, I mean, you know, that show put Netflix on the map.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, I remember, and I know I'm dating myself here. I remember, you know, sealing up DVDs in envelopes and sending it back to Netflix. That's the way I would rent my movies.
Yeah.
That's what Netflix was. Then House of Cards comes along. And then everything that's streaming, that your Class of 09 streaming on Hulu, this show streaming on the Roku channel, just the idea of putting a television show on a streaming service was so out there.
Yeah, it was the first of its kind.
Period.
It's cool to be a part of that. At the time, I thought, well, I'll do anything David Fincher is a part of
because
he's a genius, and that's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. And I guess I was right.
Yes, you were. You were. And the show is absolutely incredible. And Class of 09 is on FX. Again, it premieres on Hulu as well. Wednesday, May 10th, exclusively on Hulu with two episodes. New episodes then release weekly. I guess I'm mandated to ask you before you leave, do you have any desire of wanting to see what the Giants should do in the draft? Do you have any opinion on that front? Or
I asked my dad, I said, what's the deal? Give me some good scoop.
Yes.
And he said that maybe something will happen on draft day that everyone is shocked by.
Ooh. Spoiler alert.
Can I tweet that out?
Okay.
Tweet that out?
Never know.
Breaking news?
Breaking news.
I don't know.
The Giants might do something crazy, but they also might not.
The Giants never.
You heard it here first.
The Giants never do anything crazy.
Come on. We beat the Patriots. No, that was crazy.
No, but just crazy, like, you know, out of character. Like,
right.
The Giants and the Steelers are the least crazy organizations, one would think, in the NFL. And the Steelers, you know, I have a card for at each draft for each team with the number of draft choices that they have.
Yeah.
And some teams have only three or four because they've traded them away, or some have 11 because they've been trading like crazy. The Steelers are always 1 through 7. That's it. They hardly ever do anything, and the Giants are the same way. They're straight down the middle.
Copying each other.
What happens if they ever face in the Super Bowl? Has your family ever had this conversation?
People have asked that, but we just win then, no matter what. Like, what?
It doesn't matter. You're definitely going to the trophy ceremony.
That's it.
For us. But what I will say, my dad has worked for the Giants my entire life.
Yes.
I grew up at Giants Stadium, and I'm a New Yorker. So,
yes.
You know, I do feel closer to the Giants because that's what I grew up with. And, you know, it's my dad's life.
Right.
So I still love the Steelers, and if they played each other, you know, it would be great.
Just a guarantee.
It would just be great.
You're going to get a photograph with the Lombardi Trophy by the end of the night, no
right.
matter what.
Right.
Hey, Kate, it's a pleasure meeting you. I'm a fan of yours.
I've always wanted
to ask you these football questions because I'm just curious. It's just amazing to meet somebody who's been so involved with two of the most storied franchises in the sport that obviously not only do I love, but helps put a roof over my head with my family. I'm truly appreciative of you coming here. So
thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. At Kate Mara on Instagram. Kate Mara is here on The Rich Eisen Show. Hulu is the spot to check out Class of 09 when it hits streamers near you, including right here on Roku on Wednesday, May 10th, and then every single Wednesday after that. Back here on The Rich Eisen Show with more in a moment.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Wonderful chat with Kate Mara.
I forgot about her on 24.
Oh gosh, yeah, 24. I also didn't go down the lane of We Are Marshall.
Yep.
As well. Next time she comes on, got to get her favorite McConaughey story.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be one. Working with Matthew McConaughey. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Another in-studio guest coming from the world of entertainment, Chris Davis, who plays George Foreman in the new George Foreman film. He'll be joining us shortly. Big George Foreman is the film, available exclusively in theaters this very Friday.
Yeah, those trailers look awesome.
Yeah, so he'll be here. And then hour number three, we also have some Overreaction Monday coming up. You know, I found it weird the Ravens held their draft press conference first about 3 weeks ago. They're way ahead of the draft, talking about the draft. And I think they just wanted to be as clear from the draft when they had to make their press conference appearance as they possibly could, knowing that going into draft week, we'd be keeping an eye on Lamar Jackson. And, hey, we're here draft week, the Monday of draft week, about 10 days, I would think, after they signed Odell Beckham. And if the Odell Beckham signing, and I told you part of the benefits of signing Odell Beckham is now a new voice other than the owner, general manager, or coach to tell Lamar, we want you. Please come play. Let's come in from the cold and figure this thing out. It's another voice. It's Odell Beckham Jr., who actually even addressed the camera in his press conference, if you remember. His introductory press conference addressed the camera saying, Lamar, if you're out there, or something like that. So here we are on the Monday of draft week, and that Odell signing didn't break the dam on the spot. And I thought the other thing that might break the dam is the Jalen Hurts contract signing, because he's the first to go and sign a new contract this offseason in the quarterback group that can get an extension. Jalen Hurts, along with Tua, and along with Herbert, and along with Burrow, they're up. Now, unlike Tua, Herbert, and Burrow, Hurts was drafted in the second round, and thus there isn't a fifth year of contractual control that can be picked up by the team. So they really had to sign Hurts. And he went first. He went first, and not every dollar was guaranteed. It was insanely rich, though. Enriching, generationally enriching, I mean, the terms and the dollars were not 230 all guaranteed, but you do take a look at his contract, and it was over $50 million a year. By an annual basis, it's the richest contract in the NFL, and the number of dollars that can be added on top, I don't know if anybody's seen the actual language yet. I mean, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, came in last week saying he needs to see it to see what's real and what's not, but it's real in terms of making him a rich man for the rest of his life and his family as well. But right now, Odell's not signed. And guess what? I mean, right now, Lamar's not signed. And guess what? The Odell signing didn't break the dam, and neither did the Hurts contract. And unless he was signed to an offer sheet yesterday that we don't know about, I would find that hard to believe, right, guys?
That I would be shocked.
We would not know about him being signed to an offer sheet.
I know Twitter's all screwy, but that news would get out.
Because the Ravens would have 5 days to match it or to say, no thanks, we'll take your first round picks this year. And yesterday was 5 days out. Mm-hmm. So the clock's ticking. And pretty much Lamar is going to go into draft night unsigned to a long-term deal. And no tender signed, and no team's going to be flipping a first-round pick to the Ravens for it. And the Ravens, in allowing Lamar to go shop, look around, and he's now hitting the draft week with nobody signing him to an offer sheet. Maybe he'll go through the draft just to see who doesn't get the players that they want in the draft on Thursday and Friday night and say, well, guess what? I guess we'll sign into an offer sheet now and kick the can down the road of the 24 and 25 drafts. Which, by the way, brings Miami and San Francisco back into the equation, or any teams that don't have a first-round pick this year. Cleveland, they're not going in that direction. But I think you're picking up what I'm putting down. Bottom line is Lamar's going into draft night with his future still an absolute question mark. And Jalen Hurts kicked off the 2023 quarterback contract extension season with a deal that isn't all fully guaranteed like Deshaun Watson. And today, Jalen Hurts met with the media and was asked point blank, why didn't you hold out for that fully guaranteed contract on Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman, the owner and general manager, and I'm sure I'm screwing up his title, basically the man in charge of these decisions for the Eagles? Why didn't you hold him up when you just did what you did? And if anybody has the leverage to hold it on the Eagles and say, give me Deshaun's contract, it would be you. He was asked point blank, why not fully guaranteed?
Why were you willing to take a longer contract that wasn't fully guaranteed?
Well, obviously, I think you look at all the great teams around there, and I won't get too much into detail, but you look at all the great teams and great players. It takes a village. It takes a village. And, you know, I know that last year, I mean, in my first 3 years, but just playing around with different guys that I've been able to play around, we got something special going on, and you know, we all want to do it for a long time. So that was important to me to take that approach with it.
Jalen, you said at the Super Bowl you had a purpose before anybody had an opinion. Now you're the highest paid player in the league. I mean, how satisfying is that for you?
Yeah, I think money is nice. Championships are better.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Money is nice. Championships are better. Now, obviously, some pushback would be, well, both. Both are just as nice, and you can have both. Somebody like the Eagles and Howie Roseman can figure out how to pay this guy all that money guaranteed and still win championships. But this way does give the team, one would think, I'm not a capologist, I don't play one on TV or radio, more flexibility. That's the way I guess it was pitched to Jalen, and he said, cool. And Joe Banner, who, as we all know, was in Philadelphia before Roseman. He's the one who told us the story that Howie sent him letters, right? Unsolicited, saying, hey, you should meet with me. And so I assume Howie does it the way that Banner would think. Or maybe might spend a quiet moment of time saying, what would Joe counsel or even speak to him? I don't know. But Banner pointed out when he was here in studio about a month and a half ago, this whole fully guaranteed stuff, when you're young and you're playing and your contract, you'll finish it through and you'll make all that money. Now, obviously, somebody can get significantly hurt and you need that fully guaranteed cushion. But I'm just wondering, how does this all land on Lamar Jackson? How many times have I said that over the past month and a half? How does this land on Lamar? Money's nice. Championships are better. He might be sitting there saying, I have the same opinion. My money's just not as nice as Jalen's. But I'm just saying that maybe this is a template. But here we are, Monday at draft week. This is unresolved. In Baltimore. And Jalen, he's the one who's cashing the checks, going to the bank, taking it to the bank. And Lamar isn't. How does it land on him? We don't know the answer. We don't know the money. We don't know the details of what's been offered and what he's rejected. We don't know it. We got to assume it's got to be in the same neighborhood, hailing distance. Not dialing 9 to get an outside line. This has got to be somewhat in the local area of what the Ravens have offered. So the Eagles go into this draft. Jalen's locked up. Jason Kelsey's returning. Slay's back, right? They're pretty much keeping much of the band together. And they're choosing 10th overall. They're going to get a heck of a player on Thursday night. Heck of a player. That's why I'd be concerned for the rest of the NFC East. You and our in-studio guest who just left.
She kind of like rolled her eyes when she found out that was a Cowboys
fan. That means she's a Giant.
DJ literally pointed at the flag and she just goes, okay.
In case you're wondering, Kate Mara's all about it.
And I was already a fan and it made me even more of a fan.